This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, here it comes.
It's Ben and Woods.
Try to say this nicely. When you look at Ben, Paul, and I, it doesn't scream athlete.
With Ben Higgins.
Bicka, bicka, bow, 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 bicka, bow, bow, bump, bump, what, ha, 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 ha. On your mark, ready, set, let's go.
And Stephen Woods.
I want to win. I want to win at all costs. I really do. Other than, you know, lying, cheating, and stealing, I don't want to do that, but whatever it takes to win, I'm willing to do.
Ben and Woods.
Blame it on the Henry.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Yeah!
Hammer? Oh, no, you're not on. I'm on. All right, let's get Hammer cranked up. Nope, can't hear you. Here we go. Get your head right, because that's what we're doing in here. It's Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
I'm in now.
Are you in?
I'm back in.
Hammer is in. Okay, good. Well, welcome, everybody. One day is exactly how long our boss, Adam Klug, wanted to work with us, and he has now schlepped it off.
Sounds about right.
To Thomas Andrews. Andrews, right? Last name Andrews?
Correct.
Correct. All right. So Thomas Andrews is filling in for Adam Klug, who was filling in for Paul Reindel.
Don't they call you Odd Thomas?
They do.
Why do they? All right, we'll get into that, because now I'm going to write that down.
It's a weird nickname. Odd Thomas.
I wonder if he gave it to himself, Hammer. Probably not.
Hammer's a cool nickname.
A cool nickname that you have ascribed to yourself. Good morning. It is Ben and Woods. It's 97.3 The Fan. Again, we're a bit out of sorts because our executive producer, Paul Reindel, look, he had to get his gallbladder out. It was bad. Apparently, it was pretty infected. And Paulie is in the hospital, got the surgery yesterday. He's probably, what, 1 pound lighter from losing his gallbladder. And Thomas's girlfriend actually had hers out as well and has some advice for Paul. We'll get to that to be sure. I'm one half of Ben and Woods, the other half. My better half, Ben Higgins, will be in shortly. Usually gets in around 5:30, 5:40 every day. Paulie's going to call in around 5:30 this morning, and we'll check in with him, and I'm probably going to go see him after the show. We've got a meeting today, so that means I've got 2 hours to kill, so I'll pop by the hospital and talk to Paulie. Let me introduce the show. To my right, our assistant producer that does not know how to run the board still.
Nope.
The Hammer. Good morning.
Great morning. Thanks a lot, Paul, for exposing me in front of everybody.
So now, after our conversation on the air at this time yesterday, where I said it's probably a good idea that you learn, did you learn anything yesterday?
I have not learned anything since our talk.
Okay. Are you going to wait for Paul to get back, and that's when you guys will maybe start doing a little training?
Yeah, because like I was telling you yesterday morning, is if I'm going to learn from anybody, I'm going to learn from Paul.
Okay. All right. All right. That's fair.
I trust him.
I trust him, too. I trust
him. And this businessman, it's hard to trust people.
That is true.
I don't know if Thomas is going to sabotage me.
That's true.
He's going to tell me the wrong buttons, and next thing I know, you look like a dum-dum.
Yeah, you are an AM guy, too.
Exactly.
So. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So to Hammer's right today, our executive producer is Thomas Andrews. Odd Thomas, who gave you that nickname and why?
Crisello, because he read a book by Dean Koontz named Odd Thomas, and for whatever reason, one day, came in and said, I just like the name Odd Thomas because
right.
I like Dean Koontz as a writer. So
nothing sinister. You're not an odd guy, really.
No, I mean, I do a segment, Odd Baseball Facts.
Oh, that's
by
good.
Odd Thomas, so it's just random stuff like over, you know, the last 7 appearances, blah, blah, blah. Someone else in the batting lineup had to have a home run in each of the guys' first 7 starts or something.
Okay.
Yeah. That's odd.
I like that. I like stats like that. You know, these days you're not allowed to like stats anymore. They're not important anymore, apparently. But certain stats, like batting average, RBIs, run score, things like that, they don't matter.
Do you pass the eye test?
You get laughed at.
It's war.
It's
nowadays.
War. Oh, yeah. BABIP, WXOBA,
WHIP,
all of these things that, frankly, are tough to understand for a self-admitted math moron. I mean, I couldn't. It's part of the reason I loved baseball, because there was The only – like, I figured out batting average. I can count how many runs I knocked in, and I know how many runs I scored. And I was like, oh, cool, that's my numbers. Now, math has really started to infiltrate the great game of baseball. It makes it hard for me because I effing hate math. I was an English major. I hated math. I hated science. I got D's. You know, I barely passed any of my – I was in like – I think they actually called the course moron algebra in, like, high school. It was, like, algebra for morons.
One-on-one.
Like, yeah, pretty much, dude.
Isn't that basic algebra?
It was like, yeah, well, it was like, I think it was below basic. It was me and
what's
all,
below basic?
It's below basic.
It's nothing below basic.
Very remedial. It was me and the guys in my class all had jean jacket Metallica jackets, long, like, stringy hair.
This was you.
That was not me. I was clean cut. I was a clean cut guy. And it was me and all, and we called them the heads. They were all like potheads. We called them heads. It was me and all heads in the class. It was like really algebra for dummies. And so that's now it's all over, the game that I love so much. So I know we're going to talk some baseball today on the show as we wait for Ben to get here. We do know one participant in the World Series. It's going to be the Washington Nationals after a pretty incredible sweep of the St. Louis Cardinals and Cardinal fans today. Again, the self-proclaimed best fan base in the universe, the smartest, most intelligent, classiest fans just watch their team get swept. Swept. Not even, barely any fight until last night, late. And it just couldn't get the job done. So I know we're going to dive into that today. We actually have a really good show planned. We are, of course, we are missing Paul. Paul's a big part of the show. But you know what? The show must go on. You know, Paul's lying in a hospital bed right now. And he needs to rest and recuperate. And it was so sweet because yesterday he was kind of flipping out about, you know, do I have enough sick days? I'm like, Paul, you got your gallbladder out. No one thinks that you're on like a coke bender in Mexico somewhere. You're fine. The company can't say, hey, you're gone, pal.
Tough it
you're,
out.
Hey, you're
We're
out.
I need to see a doctor's
you're,
note.
Yeah, you're out for 3 days. don't know you're going to be welcome back Monday. I'm like, Paulie, we're not at the old place where they would actually make you. I think Paulie would actually have to cut a check if he was out sick.
Or produce from his
or produce from
bed.
His hospital bed.
That'd be awesome.
Here, you're fine. Like, you are fine. One thing I will say, though, yesterday, I have to give Paul a lot of credit because with him out, that means Ben and I were responsible for planning the show and booking guests. So I got a bunch of numbers. I sent out a bunch of texts. I got no response. None.
It
I booked.
Sucks.
I booked no one for this show today. Ben tried one guy, big name, got him. Ben put this rundown together. He updated it all. Ben wrote
but
out
did
this.
Did he update it? Because some of the stuff was exactly the same yesterday.
I'm going to give him a little break.
I don't know, because Andrew Brandt,
Andrew
that's
Brandt
on
was
three
yes.
times today.
Yeah, it is.
One, two, three. Yeah.
It's fine. He booked the guest. I got nothing. I did nothing. My wife brought my child up yesterday at about probably 2 o'clock and said, okay, he's all yours. I go, hey. I got Paul is out. I've got to book our show. I'm like ripping, sending texts and DMs and things. She's like, fine, and takes him and leaves. I got nothing. I did nothing. I might as well. I've done nothing.
I didn't do really anything.
Help. I've done nothing really to help. Anything. So I feel mediocrely bad about that, if that's even a word. But so Hammer, what'd you do yesterday? Did you have a day off? Or did you?
I did. I chilled with Ben. We did a podcast together.
The podcast.
Yeah, me, Ben, his wife Shelly. Oh yeah, we went to the Regal Seagull. It was my first time ever going to the Regal Seagull. I can definitely see why that's the go-to place.
When's the last time you were up in North County?
I can't really remember. Maybe for like a soccer tournament back in the day when I used to play for the Bonita Rebels.
It's nice up there, isn't it?
It's amazing. I got there super early, so I was like, oh, this is a perfect time. I started playing Pokemon Go, traveled the town a little bit. It was awesome. You're telling me I'm not going to play Pokemon Go in a new place in San Diego?
I guess.
I got to check out the new Pokemon.
That's what you do. So you go to the Seagull. They bought you lunch?
Yeah, I got a grilled cheese, some tater tots.
7-year-old. And
honestly, man, it was the best grilled cheese I've ever had in my life.
Place is great.
3 different type of cheeses. They had like garlic butter on the bread.
Yep. Yeah, it's really good. It's good food, good spot. And like you said, you understand why it's their go-to. They spend a lot of time at the Regal Seagull.
Oh, yeah, you can definitely tell.
Yeah, they're the regulars.
It's like their cheers.
It is their cheers.
It's awesome. 100%. They walk in and like they know the bartender.
They own that MF-er, dude. They walk in there and it's like everything stops. The waves, you know, the seas part for the Higgins family. So you guys did the podcast. Their podcast is called Down at Our Rendezvous. And what kind of – now, listen, I'm going – trust me. I'm going to listen to every word. I cannot wait.
It's fantastic.
What kind of things did you guys get into?
So basically, it was just like an interview of me, which is my favorite thing to ever talk about. I love talking about myself.
We all do. Why do we do this?
We talk about everything from, like, you know, I grew up an Alpine San Diego boy to, you know, kind of adapting to Ben and Wood Show after what I've been through at this station.
Yeah.
Just kind of my whole process. Like, and then they asked me, like, where I see myself in 10 years.
Oh, I love it.
Dude, I don't even think about tomorrow. So it was just kind of funny answering these questions. And then I put my feet to the fire, asking me questions about my girl and relationships and stuff. Dude, it was awesome. I had so much fun.
What's your girl's Twitter again?
I don't know. I have no idea. I think it's her name.
What is it?
Lauren Burrows.
All right, because I saw something yesterday. Yep, here it is.
Here we go.
And I wanted to ask you about this. What time? We got time. I saw this tweet. Oh, boy. You ready?
Okay.
It says, what would it be like to not have to constantly have to think and plan for the future? Now, I'm assuming she means her future.
I hope so.
But I'm also assuming that you want to be a part of that future.
Our whole thing is she gets really mad at me because I hate talking about the future. I just can't stand it because I can't.
You're a YOLO guy.
Don't say that, please.
You're a YOLO guy.
Dude, so my whole thing is I hate it because I can't predict the future. So, like, my whole thing is, like, why am I going to talk about something I cannot physically control? I got to dominate today. It's always been my mantra. So she's like, when do you want to do? When do you want to live with each other? Where do you want to live? And I'm like, man, I don't care. I know where I'm living right now. I got to pay rent. I got to go to work today. So that's kind of our big problem.
Now, and so what's your situation, Thomas? Are you married? You got a girlfriend, you said.
Got a girlfriend, yeah.
And you guys live together?
We do. We just moved out in May.
Moved out?
Yeah.
Ooh, big moves.
I used to live in Escondido, North County, so I drive 25, 30 minutes to work every day. I live half a mile up from Qualcomm now.
Oh, okay.
Or SDCCU.
God, you're right here.
Yeah, so.
Right next to me.
6 minute drive to work.
6 minutes. And you and your girlfriend live together?
Yep.
And how long have you guys been together?
3 years in November.
Marriage potential, marriage in the future.
Probably.
Is it kind of one of those, like, it's understood?
Yeah, we're totally cool. We've talked about it, but we're not.
Not in a rush.
We're kind of minimalist, so we'll probably
elope
and then just throw a big party with our annoying family that can't stand each other.
That's great. That's great. My wife and I did. We got married on a beach with one. It was me, my wife. We had a minister that did jailhouse ceremonies. True story.
Like Elvis Jailhouse?
No, like prison. He's a prison. He would do prison marriages.
Okay. Not like Jailhouse Rap.
Which is so fitting for marriage. It really is. So he married us. My mother-in-law was there. My father-in-law was there. And my wife's best friend. And that's it. And it was fantastic. Took us 20 minutes. We went and did a podcast after. That was our wedding day on the beach. Right there in Encinitas or Cardiff. Nice. And it was great. But we are not minimalists. And we had the conversation yesterday about being minimalist. We had this conversation yesterday.
What does it mean?
Getting rid of all your crap. Keeping what you need. Hammer, what do I wear to work every day?
Black on black.
Black pants, black shirt.
Yep.
Why do I have anything else but like 3 pairs of black pants, 4 black shirts?
Very slimming.
It is slimming. That's why I wear it. But like... Why be married and weighed down by all your stuff? It's something we can get into because I really want to. I really do. It's a fascinating topic. Maybe we can bring it up for a Hammer time someday. But we got to get going right now, get the show underway. We had a phenomenal, insightful interview yesterday with Andrew Brandt from the Business of Sports podcast, Monday Morning Quarterback. Oh, the guy also worked in the front office for the Packers for 10 years. So he knows a thing or two about the football business. We talked to him yesterday. We'll play it for you again. It's our 97.3 The Fan Spotlight. That's coming up next right here on Ben and Woods. 97.3 The Fan, it's Ben and Woods. And we are without our executive producer, Paul Reindel. He'll be calling in about 15 minutes or so. We'll catch up with him. But we had a phenomenal interview with Andrew Brandt yesterday. Not patting ourselves on the back. We're patting Andrew Brandt on the back because he was phenomenal. Ben and I are just average, mediocre, as it's been said. By former colleagues. So, listen, we're going to play that for you now. It's our 97.3 The Fan Spotlight with Andrew Brandt from Monday Morning Quarterback and the Business of Sports podcast, also a former executive with the Green Bay Packers. This guy knows what he's talking about. Here it is.
Welcome, Andrew Brandt from the MMQB, Business of Sports podcast, former Green Bay Packers executive with us here to Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. Andrew, it's great to have you on again this morning. How you doing?
good to be on and good to be talking about things other than the Packers hiring their own referees last night.
I was following your Twitter last night, Andrew, and I love. Now listen, Andrew worked for the Packers, so he has to say, I'm clearly biased against the Pack. Everybody getting mad at me right now. I worked for the. I'm a Packer fan, and people.
I saw Packers fans actually tweeting. Yeah, we got lucky on that one. Yeah, we got a few breaks on that one. Even they had to acknowledge, Andrew, that wasn't the most fairly officiated game last night.
Yeah, I had to, too. And listen, I'm in media, I get it, and I'm supposed to be a voice above all this, but I think people have their fandoms.
That's overrated.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I was there 10 years and have a lot of friends still in the organization, and I'm not going to be kind of hiding that. So, yeah, I mean, it's amazing what Aaron Rodgers can do with really practice squad receivers, and I mean, the Lions have to feel awful.
Was that Lazard actually on the team, or did they just pull him out of the stands at some point?
Yeah, it looked like these guys playing receiver, like, where'd they get these guys? But anyway, back to your question, it is amazing to me, way before the other night, this has gone on for years, and this doesn't really add to the L.A. versus San Diego discussion, because speaking of the Packers, when we played out there, I remember the first touchdown we scored, I looked around and like, where are we? I mean, there is a ton of cheering going on here. And I felt that way back 10, 15 years ago playing in San Diego, that whether we played in San Diego or Miami or Tampa or Arizona, it just felt like these were Lambeau Field. So I don't know if that's something unique. Obviously, you get a team like the Steelers, which probably falls into that Packers and Bears group where they're just people travel, and it's you look at the calendar and you say San Diego or L.A., yeah, we're doing that one. And so that's what it was the other night, but you know, the bigger issue that you raise is the issue that my expertise, the business of sports, and the business, there was no business deal to be made between the Spanos family and the city of San Diego. At the time, it just seemed like, okay, they're going to L.A., that's not a bad option. But as time goes on, you really wonder, could they have worked harder to make a deal?
Well, and that's the gazillion-dollar question, Andrew, because we like to sit in here, and you know, my partner is a San Diego native, lived and died with the Chargers, mostly died with the Chargers over the years. And you know, all right, so, and I'm not even sure that you can answer this, but what are the options now? I mean, it cannot obviously continue to go this way. And I've been telling people, you know, that love to root against the Chargers. Now, you think it's bad now? Wait till next year when you're trying to fill 70,000 and not 27. And if you really want to make fun of the team, next year is going to be your year. And I understand some people they want to go check out the shiny new stadium, but I don't know. I just feel like optics-wise, how long can they let this go on in its current situation? And then also, the second part of that question is, what legitimately could be done by the NFL?
Well, let's back up a little bit, because I covered these meetings so much for ESPN, and I just remember when L.A. got the nod, the Rams, and they're going to Inglewood, and Spanos and Davis are out in the cold. It was a clear message from the NFL to the Chargers and Raiders, go back to your markets, try to make a deal, and if you do, we'll throw you another $100 million. Think about that number, $100 million. If you can make a deal, we'll give you $100 million. So the league is begging those teams to stay. And yet, of course, a year later, the Chargers take the option. They had a year. And they said, no, we're out. And they become a tenant to Stan Kroenke and the Rams, kind of the stepsister of that building. Now we read reports about PSLs are really, they projected $400 million. Now they're projecting $150 million. And it looks like they're never going to get to that number for the Chargers games. It just looks like they're the redheaded stepsister in all this with the Rams. And it doesn't look good. So what are the options is a great question. I don't know. I don't know how the NFL can step in and juice the market for the Chargers. they're not a bad team, and they may, you know, have some momentum going into next year, if depending on how things break. But, yeah, there just doesn't seem to be the appetite. And maybe what's happening here is that the 25-year absence in L.A. is catching up because there's no fan bases. But, you know, I don't know if I'm anticipating the next question, which is any chance of going back to San Diego. I don't know. I mean, it seems to me that ship sailed. But if they're looking at the option in L.A. to an empty, huge, brand-new, shiny stadium, that's got to be considered.
Yeah, you know, Andrew, and we're talking to Andrew Brandt, Business of Sports. You mentioned that there was no deal to be had, and certainly there was no deal, at least the kind of deal the Spanos family wanted in San Diego. But, you know, San Diego State is about to tear down, you know, SDCCU Stadium, what used to be called the Q, and build their own much more modest stadium here for like $250, $300 million, but they're doing it without local city money. And it, obviously, I just feel like the Chargers, had they been willing to accept something a little more modest as opposed to the $1.8 billion proposal for downtown that they put in front of voters that was going to require a tax increase on tourists and all that, that there was a deal to be done. In fact, if they wanted to call San Diego State right now and say, hey, you know what, if we're willing to chip in, two-thirds the cost and make this stadium a little bigger and nicer and do a billion-dollar thing down there, they might still be able to do something, at this point in San Diego. I just think there's too many hard feelings. You know, there's been too many bridges burned on both sides is the real obstacle between ever getting the Chargers back to San Diego.
Yeah, and again, going back to the meetings, it looked like for a long time this doesn't really help talk about San Diego, but it looked like a long time that Raiders Chargers together in Carson was going to be the choice over Rams in Inglewood. And lo and behold, these meetings, Jerry Jones stands up and says, we need to think bigger, and this Inglewood will be part of this multi-billion-dollar retail project, and we'll host Super Bowls, and we'll host combines, and we'll host Olympics, and we'll host World Cup, and we'll have all kinds of events there, and think bigger, and the brand's bigger than Carson. And you know, it all just kind of shifted, and they looked at Dean Spanos and Mark Davis and patted him on the back and say, good luck next time, but go get a deal done. And of course they didn't.
I was there in Houston that day when they made that decision. I don't remember
if
you were there as well. And I still contend to this day that the biggest mistake the NFL made, you remember how they were rushing out to their limos to get the deal done and it all came together and in an hour? Had they just taken a couple of more hours and thought about the options that they were getting Spanos and Mark Davis?
And the fallout.
That wasn't really that smart of the NFL to just kind of rush through that process and give them a dollar lease in Inglewood. I mean, they made it so easy for the Chargers to go to L.A. and take that option. No commitment on PSL sales, just whatever you got, you're going to contribute. I think they're regretting the haste of which that happened that day in Houston now. At least some of the owners probably privately are.
Yeah, I mean, it's the optics of watching that game, as I'm sure you guys did more than me, and trying to count one or two Chargers fans at a home game. The optics are bad. Now, again, they play a team that's not a Midwestern or popular East Coast team that travels well. Maybe it's different optics playing the Chargers playing at quote-unquote home. But it does bring up the specter next year of this brand-new shiny stadium. As you said, if they don't draw next year with the honeymoon of the stadium, oh, my God, you know, what's going to happen in 5 years? Because, again, this is going to be a honeymoon year. Whether the Chargers or Rams are good or not, you figure, oh, everyone's going to want to see the stadium, spend their day at the new stadium. But that's going to wear off.
And, Andrew, were you surprised at all? We are talking to Andrew Brandt, host of the Business of Sports podcast, also columnist for the Monday Morning Quarterback. Were you surprised at all by the scene in the Coliseum with, 50% Niners fans at least?
Yeah, that surprised me as well. I mean, listen, we can talk about how good these teams are, but, you know, the Rams have an exciting team under anyone's opinion, whether they're winning now or not. But you figure that's a team that's going to draw, you know, in star-driven L.A. They're flashy. They have big-time offense with the exciting young coach. And that doesn't seem to be working either. But you're right. Just like Las Vegas, which we haven't talked about, there are going to be a ton of visiting team fans in these games. But that's not sustainable. I mean, I just wonder what the NFL is thinking.
Well, like, yeah, if only we had some historical basis to prove that football in L.A. isn't always what it's cracked up to be. I mean, it's, you know, you keep going back to the well and back to the well, and it's like, ah, man, really thought it was going to happen this time. And here we are, you know, a couple of years later, and it's like, they couldn't care less. They could not. I'd rather have a team in Portland, you know, because it'd be filled. I mean, look at Buffalo. Look at Green Bay. Look at all of these places where, you know, they're pilgrimages for fans. Not, hey, we'll get down there for one game. Look, I've been to L.A. enough to know I'm never leaving my house to go to a football game, ever. I don't care how much I love the team. There's just no way. It's hard enough. I went to a World Series game. It took me 5 hours to get out of the parking lot. I'm never going to a game.
This is a problem the NFL is facing in all sports leagues. And how to engage when it may be a better view on your widescreen television and you don't fight parking and traffic and drunks.
It's a nightmare.
So, you know, that's always going to be the question for any live sporting event right now, especially younger audiences. And whether it's, you know, in-game app betting that you can only do at the facility.
Oh yeah.
Or some kind of esports gaming in the concourse. You're going to have to figure out ways to get young people to these games.
Andrew, before you go, maybe for the first time ever, the NFL probably happy that their product isn't as popular in China as the NBA's product, because they've kind of been spared the controversy of this past week. But what would you say to someone like LeBron James, who obviously has business interests in that country and kind of stepped in it last night, seemed unprepared for the questioning that he had to know was coming. But it is that balance between a brand, a business, you know, a social impact that many of these NBA athletes are having. And it's almost, no matter what you say, you're going to make someone mad at this point.
Yeah, and I have a column coming out today on Sports Illustrated, MMQB, about the NFL kind of sitting back, maybe smugly smiling at all this, because NBA is known as progressive and they're known as liberal and they're known as doing all these kind of things. And here they are, the NFL is probably thinking, hey, look, they're just like us. You know, business first. When politics gets involved, it doesn't work. So we'll sit back and we'll watch the NBA just come back just like we were.
Oh, that's pretty good. I can't wait to read that, actually. That actually just made a lot of sense in my head. I can't believe I didn't put that together yet. And I was like, it's not so fun and easy, is it, right?
But I am not last person to criticize LeBron. I think he's been wonderful for sports in general. He's a role model. There's never been anything negative about his life off the court. He's put a school together. He raises his kids well. Same woman. I mean, this is a guy that you have to look up to, but you're right. This was a awkward all around. And the way they're dragging Daryl Morey under the bus is amazing to me. And this is one of the most respected general managers in the league. No one's come to his defense. In a world where coaches and players routinely criticize issues in civil rights and human rights, and that's exactly what this guy was advocating for in a tweet, but it was bigger than that. It was international business, and it affected these guys on the trip. So NBAs can't get out of China soon enough right now.
Andrew, that was amazing. Love it when you come on the show. Thank you for giving us some time this morning. We're looking forward to that column as well.
Really appreciate it.
Oh, it was a pleasure, guys.
Really good stuff. Enjoyed that conversation yesterday, Woods. And speaking of that topic of LeBron James, we mentioned Dan Wolkin's USA Today column that was really pointed. I mean,
the scather.
Yeah, really took LeBron to task. I thought very well written, good points that he made. Dan's going to be with us 1 hour from now to talk about LeBron and that column. He probably has some thoughts on baseball as well. But
and the fallout that's you know, still inevitably coming and probably won't end anytime soon.
Yeah, I mean, yesterday LeBron was again inundated with questions, already getting tired of talking about it. This is what happens when you put your foot in your mouth. So we will have more on that coming up. Next, though, it was a big day in the NFL, especially on the trade market, considering the moves the Los Angeles Rams made. But does it change anything for that team? We'll talk that. Hammer Time is also coming up as well.
We're going to hear from Paulie Reindl as well.
Oh, is he calling
He's
in?
He's calling in.
I didn't know that. Yeah. All right, so you got to tell me these things. That is coming up next.
I said it in the open.
Oh, you're right. You did, didn't
yeah.
you?
There yes. you go. All right, suck it. How about that?
It's not here, though, on my sheet.
No, it's not. It's not.
97.3 The Fan. Middle of the week, Ben and Woods on a Wednesday morning here on 97.3 The Fan. Good morning, Woods.
Good morning, Benny.
It's early. It's
yeah.
Wednesday.
And it's always early.
Not quite close enough to Friday to kind of see the finish line for the week, but Monday seems way back there in the rearview mirror.
I'm actually panicking about Friday. I'm going to Mexico for my first time.
That's right.
Well, and it's not the fact that I'm going to Mexico.
I find that amazing because I haven't been to Mexico a lot. Just a couple of times growing up in San Diego my entire life. But you've actually never gone across our border that's only, 20 minutes from here.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got a wedding in Mexico, and the wedding's on Friday night. And my wife set it all up. She was going to go. Now she's not going to go. Had some issues this week, as we've talked about. But she's going to stay home, so I'm going with my dear friend. Also, like, the worst person I could go with as far as getting in trouble goes. So we have to go to the border. We have to walk across the border. I've got to carry a suit with me across the border on Friday. Jump in a car. There's going to be a guy there waiting. He's going to take us down about an hour and a half somewhere. I can't even remember where it is, for a wedding. We're staying at a hotel. It's actually, Ben, it's an Instagram hotel.
An Instagram hotel?
Yeah, where it's like very Instagrammable.
So you have spots where you can take photos of yourself
of course.
All around and post them?
Yeah, of course. But they pride themselves on the fact that they have no Wi-Fi or anything. It's very minimalist.
That seems weird for an Instagram hotel.
Exactly. Like, I guess I'll just post them when I get back. But so we're going to that. We take a shuttle over to the wedding. Wedding starts at 5 on the nose. I don't drink much anymore at all, like ever. I'll be drunk by 6 o'clock. And then the guy comes and picks us up the next morning. He drives us back to the border. We walk across the border. We Uber back. It's not that I have anxiety because I know it's not going to go smoothly. Or I'm hoping that it goes smoothly, and it probably won't.
There'll probably be a couple of moments where, if not... like, you're going to not panic, but there'll be some waiting at the border.
Yeah.
There'll be some
hot,
issues.
Hungover waiting at the border, like, probably in the suit that I wore to the wedding that's covered in, like, grape juice and stuff. I'm nervous. I'm anxious about it. So
well,
that's my Friday.
It might also be a fantastic time.
It could be.
People do set up these things in the anticipation of having a really good time. So
yeah,
give yourself that option.
I am. I'll give myself that option, but I'm a little anxious about it. And so I'm like, if we're here working, that means I'm not waiting in the border line, so that I'm happy to be here.
So we have the option right now of either talking about the Rams trading for Jalen Ramsey or bringing on our producer, Paul Reindl, from his hospital bed.
I wonder my vote.
I wonder what Woods is going to vote for right here.
Paulie, how's the gallbladder?
It is no more.
It is gone.
It is gone.
That rotten piece of slab of meat that was inside of you rotting
the
gall away.
Of it.
The gall of it. Your gallbladder.
The unmitigated gallbladder.
So yeah. It's gone. They took it out. How you feeling?
I feel fine if I'm not doing anything, but the second I move, and I mean like even turn to grab some water, I am in horrible pain.
Welcome to your 40s, by the way.
Yeah, welcome to your 40s. That's exactly right. Yeah. Exactly right. It's great training.
Well, here's the thing. I haven't even hit my 30s yet, so this is still new. But, you know, that's what this wonderful little invention called oxycodone is for.
Uh-huh.
And
please use sparingly.
Yes, of course. Using responsibly. And
It's a slippery slope, Paulie, those pills. I'm telling you right now. Slippery slope. Be careful. We always have your back, but I don't need to lose you for 30 days for treatment, anything like that.
Well, or worse, as we've been talking about with this Los Angeles Angels story this
year.
Yeah,
exactly. Don't do anything dumb. Do take the prescribed amount, the whole thing. Is your girlfriend Megan still there with you?
No, she went home last night and got some sleep, and then she's going to swing by. I think she's going to take a half day today and then swing by a little bit later on.
Well, so I saw your picture of your hotel room. I've stayed in really...
Hospital room.
I'm sorry. What did I say, hotel?
Hotel room.
I've seen it... Okay, well, that's...
It might as well be a hotel.
Freudian slip, because it looks like a Vegas suite. I've stayed in some really nice hotels in my life. Nothing as nice as that place. That's incredible.
Yeah, this room is insane.
You want to do a little plug-ola shout-out on the air for the hospital right now? Cool.
Yeah, Lord knows I got a huge bill that's going to need help. Yeah, no, we went to, so I live in La Mesa, and there is a Kaiser nearby. There's a couple. And when I called Megan on, what was that, Monday night now, I was like, hey, it's ER time. Like, I'm really, really hurting. She goes, all right, I'm on the way. Like, I'm going to change. I'll come down. I'll pick you up. We're going to go to the new Kaiser, though, off Claremont. I'm like, well, why?
Dying right now. I don't need an extra 4 miles.
Yeah, I was like, there's one 5 minutes away. She's like, if you can wait another 10 minutes, like, it'll be worth it. And sure enough, I mean, there is this, like, 75-inch smart TV in front of me that has, I can watch movies, television, I can surf the internet.
That's like, incredible.
I can communicate with my nurses.
Can you watch Twitch on there?
No, surprisingly, can't get Twitch.
Oh, it's weird.
Yeah, hospitals are something that you do feel like maybe going the extra mile to get a good one is worth it. It's like 7-Elevens, and
they're
just
all pretty
go
much
the
same.
Closest one.
Yeah.
It really doesn't make a difference. A big gulp's a big gulp. But yeah, the hospital where you might be stuck for a few days, it does seem like it might be worth it to do a little, I don't know, if they do Yelp research or something on that one before you check in.
So I was talking to our producer for the day, probably the rest of the week, Thomas, and his girlfriend had gallbladder surgery, Paul. And she said she really had to watch what she eat or what she ate for like the next year. Like this is once you're feeling a little bit better, it doesn't end there. Like you really are going to have to be diligent about your diet and things like that, because things can get, let's just say, messy if you eat the wrong food.
I'm probably gonna. Never mind, I won't go there. I mean, I've been told actually different things. I've been told by some doctors like. Yeah, like after about a week or two, you'll pretty much be feeling normal. Now, you're not going to have much of an appetite. Like, you're going to eat a lot smaller portions, but you won't really have any restrictions. And then I've also heard, just like what you said, be like, yeah, your entire diet's about to change.
Yeah. You're going to need to watch out for diarrhea, possibly. Could be a big player in your future, Paul.
Yeah, no more Dietz and Watson for me.
Not that Dietz and Watson... causes that. Now, you could still go to 7 Mile Casino and play Baccarat or Blackjack or have as much Eco Water as you want. Get your testosterone checked at the Total T Clinic here in about a year, Paul, because you are not only losing your gallbladder, but you're probably losing testosterone right now as we speak. So just FYI. If only we knew a place. Well, Paulie, we love you. We miss you. But there is no effing way we are cutting into Hammer Time just to talk to you. So we love you. I'll see you after the show. I'm going to come by. I have a 2-hour wait for probably a 7-minute meeting, so I'm going to come by and hang out with you after the show today. So I'll come by and see you, and we'll try to find that Twitch stream.
Yeah, cool. I'm right up the street, so sounds good, man.
All right, I'll see you soon, buddy.
Thanks,
love
Paul.
You.
All right, go Canes.
So does this mean that I am I'm not going to get to talk about the Jalen Ramsey trade in this segment?
Nope.
Yeah,
we got three more hours.
Figured we were heading that direction. That's all right, because we transition directly from producer Paul in his hospital bed to Hammer Time.
Can't touch this. Can't touch this. Can't touch this. Stop. Hammer Time.
Morning, Hammer.
Did Hammer tell you that I turned the tables on him with a Hammer Time question for him during our podcast?
Yo, you did?
Reverse Hammer Time during the Down at Our Rendezvous podcast.
I cannot. When's this thing going to be edited and
posted? It should
be
out by Friday.
Friday?
So, yeah, a couple of days.
3 days.
Maybe tomorrow. We'll see.
It's a perfect weekend podcast.
Yeah, weekend podcast. So
I need
the
it.
Question, before we get to Hammer's question,
yeah, what
I
was
you
yours?
To answer the question.
Okay.
Because I saw this on Twitter, and I was fascinated by it, and discussed it for a while with my wife and then other people. Would you rather win $5 million tomorrow or $100 million in 15 years' time?
Five tomorrow.
That's
what I said. Yeah. Done. It's a no-brainer.
I'm not trying to wait because for me, I want $5 million now because I want to be rich when I'm young.
100%.
I don't want to like wait. Yeah, I get that I get a lot more money and I'm better off like my family in the future.
How old will you be in 15 years, Hammer?
42.
Okay, that's ancient. I'm 44.
Yeah, are you kidding me? I might be dead by then. I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, tomorrow's not promised to
anybody. I'm the only one who really strongly considers the 100 million option because...
You'll be 56
I probably have more
old?
Expensive taste than all of you, so I feel like I could use the 100 million. And, you know, I've got two kids, so I want to pass on more to them.
Do you know how much money $5 million is worth? Yeah, like, you know how much...
Getting less and less every year.
That's true.
I mean, I've never seen it, but at the same time, inflation, you know, by the time you're... $65 million is probably, half of your year's salary.
That's a great Hammer Time question.
And I just moved to the Midwest where everything's cheaper, and I'd take that $5 million and really expand
it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Hammer Time Pizza. He could open, like, pizza joints. Hammer's Pizza.
All right, but that was my question.
That's great.
This is your segment. This is your time to shine on Ben and Woods. What's your Hammer Time question today?
So my question is, like, what's your favorite memory? Kind of like growing up in school. You know, you had those school moments. For me, there was no better feeling than the excitement behind when you knew classes were going to get set up.
Yep.
And they used to post the class roster, like, outside of the front of the school. And the whole school used to show up at once to see what class we were in. And it was awesome. Could you look to see who was in your friends?
Oh, your homies, yeah.
You'd always have the crush to see, like, oh, is this the chance I get to sit next to Jessica?
God, you're right.
Oh, man, the excitement that built to see who was in your class. It was awesome.
Yeah, it's such a good one. The first day of school was always pretty fun seeing, and we didn't do the roster, but you came in and you kind of had that anticipation. You had your new threads on, mine from Ross that my dad forced me to buy and against my will. But I would come in trying to look sharp, you know, fresh haircut. Be like, oh, look who's in my class, Megan Vendetti. All right,
yes.
This is the year. Here we go. Post up next to her, you know, see what's what. You're right. Those are good memories.
When I was in sixth grade, so this is before, obviously, high school, I remember they did a talent show every year for the whole school.
Yeah.
And they needed someone to be the MC, and they asked me to do it.
In sixth grade.
And I remember how nervous I was because I had never been on stage before, and I had all my little note cards to introduce all the acts and get up there. Probably ended up, looking back now, a formative moment in my life.
There's no doubt. Like, okay, so when you did it, and if you were to grade yourself, it's basically your very first performance ever. How did you think you did? You nail it?
Not terrific, but not bad.
Shaky?
No. I was definitely not shaky. I practiced a lot, rehearsed. I remember some of the acts. I remember the fourth grader who did the lip sync to Willie the Big Bopper Fisher, Great Balls of Fire.
Amazing.
There was the kindergarten duo who played the piano together. I don't know why, but definitely a memory that stands out from my school
years. That's pretty great.
Yeah. And then another honorable mention for me is, I used to take the bus to school.
Yeah,
so,
same.
And I was one of the last pickups. And there's no better feeling than when you get on that bus and you see all your boys.
Hey, what's up?
And you're walking down the hall, dapping everybody up. Dude, you just feel like a superstar. Man, I just miss those kids.
There's like no bus travel anymore for kids to school.
Which I think is a good thing.
Well, yeah,
you get some meth head, you know, going 75.
Back in the day, everyone was busing, even early. I believe I bused like to kindergarten.
Well, at some point, busing became nerdy. I remember being like, my mom's like, just catch the bus. I'm like, I'm not taking the bus, Mom. Only the dorks ride the bus.
I think one of the first times I took the bus, on the way home, I was too nervous to get off, and I ended up back at school.
Mom
had to come get me. Like, why didn't you get off?
I was terrified. Your
spot? Yeah, I didn't know what to do. No one explained how the bus works.
He just rides around her. She's sitting in the bus depot at 7:30. Where's Ben? Has anybody seen Ben? He's sitting there with his knapsack on.
It's like when SpongeBob stays on the bus and he goes all the way down in the deep parts.
That is, Ben, that is yet another fantastic piece of gold that I never would have imagined. That's brilliant, though. I love the thought of a sixth grade Ben Higgins preparing for weeks for this MC talent thing, and you got your cards. And What's the name of your school?
It was Parkdale Lane Elementary in Encinitas.
Welcome, fellow students of Parkdale Lane Elementary in Encinitas. I bet he sounded just like he does now, too.
Classic.
I bet he sounded like this since he was, you know.
Six. Same hairstyle.
Same hairstyle, yeah.
Little suit and tie.
Suit and tie, yeah. Suit and tie.
Dressed up. I definitely.
You got pictures of that? I bet Mama does. Nine.
Probably somewhere,
oh,
yeah. Probably
it.
Somewhere.
That is a hugely formative time in your life. Well done. All right, we got to go.
Stop. Hammer time.
Nice job, Hammer. And again, thanks for coming up for the podcast.
We'll thanks get for
that,
the grilled cheese.
We'll get that edited and posted hopefully soon here.
Sports next!
All right, finally I get to talk some sports. I think we have to start with baseball playoffs, though,
yeah.
Since we have a World Series participant. That is coming up. Do not go anywhere. Ben Woods on a Wednesday morning. Glad to have you with us here on 97.3 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.